truth of faith is that Jesus is the one who leads us. He leads us into new experiences. He leads us into new relationships. He leads us into new opportunities. He also leads us through desperate times, the wearying places, where we are then able to discover that He is our living hope. He is the one on whom our hope is founded. Sometimes it's our failures, sometimes it's our letdowns or our discouragements that provide us the most fertile soil, that provide Him the most fertile soil in which to sow His grace into our lives. During the Sundays between now and the beginning of Lent, the time of the calendar year where we begin our preparation for Holy Week and for Easter, we're going to be looking at the stories of Jesus, the stories in the Gospels, through the eyes of the most honest, the most authentic, the most real disciple of them all in my book. The one Jesus calls Rock, Rocky, Petros, Peter. Peter, if you're not familiar with these narratives, is a follower of Jesus who is what the Bible calls a disciple. Peter has a unique relationship with Jesus. He's one of the inner circle disciples. He's one of his inner circle guys. But it's not because Peter always got it right. In fact, it's just the opposite. Peter was constantly getting it wrong. Peter's constantly putting his foot in his mouth. Peter is real. Peter is flawed. Peter is guided, as we often are, by his passions. I think we need to look again at the stories of Jesus through the lens of his disciple Peter, because Peter is us. In fact, as we go through these next few weeks, it would be interesting for us, and I want to encourage you to take on this little challenge. See what happens. As we go through these texts, as we read these gospel narratives that many of them may be really familiar to you, when you hear the Bible use the name Peter, insert your own name. See if it changes your perception, your viewpoint, the way you hear the text. Peter has his eyes opened by the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth. And maybe you will as well in these next few weeks. Interestingly, where we begin today is where we will end in 6 weeks or so. About the same place, a fishing story. Story by a lakeside. So I want to invite you, as you're able, as you can, stand with me in honor and reverence for God's word as we hear now God's word spoken to us. We're going to be reading from Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, starting at verse 1 and going through verse 11. And when I'm done, I'll say, "This is the word of the Lord," so that if you believe it to be true, you can respond by saying, "Thanks be to God." Listen carefully, we're reading God's holy word. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake. But the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners on the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." for he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. You'll be fishing for people." When they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Heaven and earth will pass away, but what we just read never will. Please be seated. Two scenes converge here on the lake shore. Peter and the others had pulled in their boats after a long night of fishing in which they caught nothing. It was discouraging. It was disappointing. Their nets were empty. Maybe they've got holes in them, so we better mend our nets so that next time this doesn't happen again. After all, we're professional fishermen. This isn't supposed to happen. We're supposed to catch fish. Peter's supposed to be an expert in this. This is how he makes his living. But this morning, he's come back empty. He's come back disappointed. I don't think he's just having a bad day. I think he's struggling. He's struggling with disappointment. He's struggling with discouragement over something that gives his life meaning and purpose. Maybe there's an area of your life where you're an expert. Maybe it's part of your job. Maybe it's an aspect of your family life. Maybe it's something in the community that you're really good at, a skill or a hobby, or maybe you take great pride in being master of your domain. These are the areas that it is hardest for us to let Jesus come in and rule over our lives. No, Jesus, I got this. There are also the places where we are most likely to experience the discouragements in our life when things go sideways. Peter lost his hope on the shore of the lake. He lost his hope out in the deep waters. Maybe it was the deep waters of your life where you lost your hope. Maybe you didn't get the job you hoped for or passed over for a promotion. For someone who was younger and less qualified, maybe life has changed for you and it's just now too difficult to do the things that once came easy for you. Whatever it is, we can lose our hope as well. Our eyes can grow weary and dim from too many tears, too many unrealized expectations. Our eyes can fall in discouragement, thinking that this is the best that it's going to be, and so I'm just going to have to get used to status quo. This was Peter. But now Jesus comes to open Peter's eyes to the true purposes that he has for him. And that's what we're going to be looking at in the next few weeks. Now, alongside these weary and empty-handed fishermen on the shore of Lake Gennesaret comes Jesus. He's being pressed in upon by the crowds of people who are eager to hear the word of God. Here alongside the lakeshore, he is as close to the water as he can be, and he's still being pressed in upon. Beside him is Peter's boat, and so he takes it and pushes out a bit into the water so that he can sit and be still and teach. And it's kind of made this natural amphitheater, the lakeshore, the beach, and then Jesus out on the water. When the teaching is finished, he turns to Peter and he says, "Put out into the deep," kind of with a wink in his eye, "put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." Now I imagine in this moment, Peter probably looks at Jesus and he says, "Wow, that was some really great teaching, Jesus. It really inspired me. It was great. But what I really need right now is a nap. I just need to go home. It was a long night. We didn't catch anything. And I'm feeling kind of discouraged. Really, I just need to kind of get away and take a nap." Jesus says, "Nope, That's exactly what you're not going to do. You're coming with me. So why would Jesus do this? Why does Jesus take Peter back out on the lake after a long night of empty-handed fishing? And it's here that I think that Peter meets the teaching moment for him and for us as well. Jesus takes Peter out into the boat for a couple of reasons. First is that Jesus wants to join us in our disappointments so that he can lead us through our disappointments. Jesus joins us in that place of discouragement so that he can lead us through to the place of encouragement. On this day and age, fishing happened in one of two ways. It was either shallow water fishing, in which they would take their nets and kind of skim the fish off of the top part of the water, just skim in shallow and shallow fishing. Or there was deep water fishing, in which they would cast weighted nets that would go down to the bottom and kind of gather all the fish from at the bottom of the lake and then bring them up into the boats. And any fisherman who was worth their salt knew that the best fishing happened at dusk or in the evening time when it was dark and cool. Peter and his mates came back after a long night of fishing with nothing, and they were disappointed. Peter, like you and me, deals with his disappointments in a couple of ways. Either he ignores it, you know, he puts on a happy face and smiles, puts on that kind of plasticky grin that Christians often have, that, you know, like nothing is going wrong and life is wonderful and I've never had a bad day in my life. And you start to, you know, that grin starts to kind of dry out and you think, are you real or are you fake or what's going on here? Or we indulge our disappointments. We kind of feed off of them and we wallow in our sorrows and, you know, poor me, oh, it's so bad. And we start to look like Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh, you know. When things are going bad and they're always going to be bad, oh, bother. And this is how we deal with our disappointments. We either indulge it or we ignore it. When we face disappointments, whether they come from our work or our family or our community, we get tempted to assume that our life is a disappointment. And I want to tell you this one thing. Remember this. Don't ever confuse your living with your life. How you make your living, your family living. Don't confuse that with your life. Peter confesses to Jesus after Jesus tells him to put out into the deep, and it's so refreshing what he says. He says, "Master, we toiled all night and we took nothing, and you want us to go back again?" Sometimes we need to experience the disappointment of things that we think give our lives meaning, the things that we think give our lives purpose. We need to experience them in this respect so that we can realize that the waters of money and power, the waters of success and acclaim, the waters of perfection, the waters of whatever it is we think gives meaning to our lives, these waters are empty. We will never take in the catch we're supposed to if that's where we place our priority. Part of Peter's experience of being drawn back out into the waters of disappointment by Jesus is Peter realizing that the thing that he counted on to give his life definition, the thing that he counted on to give his life meaning, the thing that he counted on to give him joy and happiness and contentment in his life, namely fishing, could leave him empty. The writer of Ecclesiastes spends an entire book in beautiful poetic terms describing this emptiness. He calls it vanity. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. What does man gain from all the toil with which he toils under the sun? Fishing isn't a bad thing. Our careers, our stuff, our families, these are not bad things. These are good things. But when we place our ultimate hope in them, they will never materialize in the way that we hope. If we make good things, like our careers or our possessions, our accolades, even our families, the ultimate thing, the best thing in our lives, if we give them the first place, Jesus, like the writer of Ecclesiastes, tells us that we will continually come back empty. But then Peter says something beautiful. Like I said earlier, some of the most hopeful moments in Scripture begin with these little words called prepositions. In our text this morning, it says, but, nevertheless, yet. The text says, Peter says, Master, we toiled all night and we came back with nothing, but at your word, I will let down my nets. This simple word, this preposition, is Peter's act of faith. A pastor by the name of Craig Barnes says this word, this preposition, is Peter's act of faith. But at your word, I will let down my nets. As soon as we come to the end of our striving after vanity, after wind, as soon as we realize that the only thing we'll catch by defining our lives in these terms is emptiness, as soon as we allow Jesus to lead us back into the places of our disappointment with him in the boat by our side, now we're ready for the gift that he wants to give us, that new and living hope. When we realize that it's not about the fish. It's about the fisherman. This is the moment. This is the aha moment for Peter. He's sitting across from Jesus, and Jesus has this big, Peter's sitting across from Jesus, and Jesus has this big smile on his face. It's kind of maybe like a glint in his eye or a wink, or, you know, he's like, ah, I got you now. It's not about the fish. It's about the fisherman. Jesus catches Peter. It's not about Peter's ability to catch fish. It's not about the results or the accomplishment. It's about the person. It's about the heart. You'll notice that once Peter listens and obeys, it says that he caught such a large fish that he had to bring his buddies over and fill their boats with the fish. And the boats were sinking and the nets were breaking and there were so many fish they couldn't even deal with them. It would be awfully tempting in this moment to confuse the fish with the fisherman, to put more weight on what's come into our boat, to put more weight on what will come into our boat if we let the Savior in. And maybe this is where the prosperity gospel kind of creeps into our thinking. We trust Jesus, we obey Jesus. If you just do these things, if you let Jesus into your boat, then you will overflow with abundance and your catch will be big. But if we hear this, if this is what we hear, get with Jesus and you'll have a big catch of fish, then I think at the risk of muddying the metaphor, I think we're missing the boat. More specifically, we're missing the Savior who's in the boat with us. You see, because it's not about the fish. Trusting God does not mean that all the vanity that we run after is all of a sudden anything more than vanity. It's not anything more than wind. It's all still wind. But the miracle of this story is that now that Jesus is in the boat with Peter, Peter is with the fisherman. Jesus is the one who leads us back into those places of disappointment and discouragement, to redeem them, to give them holy purpose, to give them meaning in our lives. Second thing Jesus wants to show us is that he is the source of our living hope. Jesus is the one who wants to lead us into a life of rich and living hope. He wants to catch you. He wants to captivate your heart. He wants to tell you that I have always been with you. And how does he do this? He does this by a surprise. You would think that after the big catch of fish that was brought in at the end of the story, it wasn't. The big catch of fish wasn't the end of the story. It was just the surprise. It was the act of surprise grace that Jesus gave to Peter. The Greek word for grace here in this context is the word chara. And chara is a surprise word. It's an unexpected encounter of grace. God's good favor in our lives. It wasn't the huge catch of fish that caught Peter's attention. It was the fisherman who was in the boat with him. Don't confuse the blessing with the Savior. Don't confuse the mercies with the merciful one. Don't miss God in the midst of God's action. I was talking with one of you this week, and you were telling me this person has been going through a prolonged time of health challenges. And I asked them, how are you doing? How are things going? And they said, oh, I'm doing good. But I just found out that the treatment that I'm receiving isn't making progress. My condition isn't getting any better. In fact, it probably won't ever get better. It'll just kind of continue to go down and down. And I thought to myself, how in the world could that be good? How could that be good news? How can news that this person will, for the rest of their lives, be on this treatment, or one that's like it, how can that be good? That eventually their body will succumb to all this. How can that be good? And then I realized this, that the person isn't confusing the fish with the fisherman. They're not confusing the health and the healing with the one who is able to do the healing. They know the source of living hope in their lives. And he is sitting right there in the boat beside them. It's a humbling thing when we face the source of our living hope. For Peter, it drove him to his knees. He looks at the fish and then he looks at Jesus and he's speechless. I mean, he's seen Jesus, but he's never seen him like this. Now that I see who you are, you must get away from me because I am a man of sinful actions. I'm not worthy of being in your presence, Jesus. And Jesus is just smiling because he knows that these are the ones that I've come to capture. Ones who don't have their lives together. Ones that are a mess. The ones who are sinful. These are the ones that I will use for my mission. Peter's overwhelmed. You're too powerful. You're too glorious. You're too stunning. All I could see was my empty nets and now the fish. But seeing you before me, I must get away because I am a sinful man. And Jesus, with that glint in his eye, like he does so many times, he looks at Peter and he says, you're just the one I'm looking for. I can use this. Pretty soon, Peter, you're going to be catching much more than fish. You're going to be catching people. Remember, when Jesus asked Peter to put out into the deep, Peter didn't understand. It was confusing to him. We don't often understand what and how we're going to be used by God. What is our life about? What is it for? What am I here to do? These are the questions Peter asked himself as well. Where's the struggle? Where's the frustration? Where's the discouragement? Where's the failure? Where's the nagging hope in your life that has driven you ashore? Listen to the Savior. Put out into the deep. Double down on Jesus. Double down on God. And you know what? Jesus will take care of the rest. If this is what you say, then let that be our hope. Jesus, if this is what you say, let that be my hope. On this Martin Luther King weekend, I'm reminded of a quote just in closing that King said. He said, with this faith. We will be able to hew out of this mountain of despair a stone of hope. Jesus wants to come into your lives. He wants to be the one in the boat with you, to give you that enduring, living hope, so that in a mountain of despair, whenever that comes, it may not be right now, things may be just fine right now, but when that despair comes, He is the one who is with us, mining that stone of hope, that gem of hope. That was what allowed him to endure. That was what propelled him forward, that allowed him to keep the faith and continue to pursue this thing of justice and civil rights in this country. And this weekend we celebrate that. Because he, like Peter, didn't confuse the results with the one who gives the results. But he was the one who, placed his faith in the fisherman and not just the fish. Let's pray together. Loving God, in our lives right now, no matter where we are and what we've come with this morning, I pray that you would draw us back into those places where we feel like we've lost it, we feel like we're alone, where we feel discouraged and disappointed. I pray that we would have the faith to trust you as you lead us back into those places where you can reveal your hope, where you can reveal your grace. Lord, in these days that we face, that we are in right now, that seem so full of worry and discouragement and despair and uncertainty, I pray that we would have the trust and the faith to get in the boat with you, knowing that you are the one who is able to breathe hope into our lives, into our world. Lord, we pray that you would give us that strength today. We pray this all in the strong name of Jesus the Savior. Amen.
You have been listening to a podcast from Wabash Presbyterian Church. For more sermons and resources, please visit us at wabashpresbyterian.com.